Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, listeners, Kevin and I need your help.
Yes, we need your help. Please, please, please. We need your stars. We need your reviews, you guys, on iTunes so we can start to climb those iTunes rating charts.
It's simple. Open iTunes, click on the iTunes store, search for Behind the Curtain, Broadway's Living Legends.
Then click on ratings and reviews. Under the customer reviews, click write a review. Then let us know what you think from 1 to 5 stars.
If you need some help, think of 1 star being Carol Channing and Paul Lynn in the Road Company of the last 5 years, and 5 stars being free front row tickets to Hamilton. Although, when you think about it, I actually would give 5 stars to the Road Company of Carol Channing and Paul Lynn in the last 5 years, because I think that would be awesome.
I would love to hear, can I hear Moving Too Fast as Paul? that's the one I really want.
She's a chick's the goddess. Been through Erica Schwartz and Danica Weiss and the Handelman twins.
So there you go. You can also leave a comment if you like.
That's it. That's
your reviews.
It.
Send us
Thank
your
you.
Reviews,
Please.
Friends.
Thank you.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
And I'm Kevin David Thomas.
And happy Throwback Thursday. Hashtag TBT.
It's time for my favorite things, everyone.
It is time for my favorite things. Hey, I'd like to give a shout out to Jeff Hughes, who guessed who is singing in our opening credits.
Good job, Jeff.
Jeff, great ear, by the way.
I know. Who?
Do you know who it is?
No,
I don't know
I
if
never
I told
did.
You.
No, I never got it.
Okay.
Here it is a booming voice.
It is a booming voice. And most people don't remember him for having this booming voice because most people remember him nowadays, I think, from I Love Lucy. Do you remember on I Love Lucy when Cousin Tennessee Ernie Ford used to come and visit Lucy?
No.
Well, you probably didn't watch it. What did you watch growing up?
Golden Girls.
Really?
Yeah, when my dad would go on trips, my mom would put on Golden Girls and Three's Company.
Oh, I love Three's Company.
The gayest television ever is like what I grew up watching.
Do you ever get John Ritter? Did anyone ever tell you?
You know what? Someone has given me that before. Yeah.
I was watching
twice.
Yeah, I was watching Three's Company. You actually remind me of John Ritter.
That's funny.
Did you ever hear that story about on Nick at Night when a viewer found out that there's an episode where John Ritter jumps over the sofa and he's wearing tennis shorts and one of his testicles falls out? Seriously. And everyone went back to look at it and they're like, oh my God, that's John Ritter's ball falling out.
That's
and they had to edit it out of the
show. And isn't
the
context, like, I watched it as a kid, but really, as an like, when you go back in the 2016, the setup was that he was a guy, straight guy, living with these women, but he had to pretend like he was gay.
Yeah, because the landlord wouldn't allow.
That's right.
Yeah, he didn't want men living with women unless they were married.
A sign of the times, and yet kind of a twist. I mean,
yeah.
Like, so kind of fun. And then, can you get away with that today? Like, pretending like you're gay? Like,
no, like, I don't think so.
You bring on those characteristics, and I don't know. I just, when you look, when
know.
You review
like,
you that again, you're kind of like, really? That's
yeah.
the context? That was the...
I don't know. No, I don't know if you couldn't get away
funny.
With that.
I mean, I watched that show recently again, and it is it's funny. It's campy, but it is like
you know
funny.
What?
Funny.
You know what?
And I always joke that Joyce DeWitt's doing like Mama Rose at some theater in like the middle of nowhere somewhere right now. She's at like Beef and Board's Dinner Theater doing
Joyce
Mama
DeWitt
Rose.
In Shirley Valentine.
Always Patsy Cline
always
starring
Patsy
Joyce DeWitt.
Joyce, where are you?
Because well, that's what Sally Struthers does.
Sally Struthers does do that all the time.
She's got quite a career Algonquin Playhouse.
Oh, I love her. She works all the time.
Yeah, she's
and
Hello
she's
Dolly
a
everywhere.
Sweetheart.
Yeah.
Dolly and 9 to 5.
Yeah.
And now she's doing Nice Work Everywhere.
That's good for her.
But not always Patsy Cline. That's another big one for her. So that's pretty cool. So if you're a 70s TV star, that's like where
that's what I grew up watching.
That's where you end up going, though.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Joyce DeWitt and Shirley Valentine. That's right. Actually, Joyce DeWitt and Richard Cline, who plays Larry in Three's Company, will be in same time next year at the Beef and Boards Dinner Theater. After that, we'll follow up our season with Marla Gibbs from 227 and Jack K. Harry in Agnes of God.
Mewing. The baby was in the trash can.
That's what it's going to be.
That's good.
Thank you. Thank you. I have a lot of time on my hands. Where do we go? Oh, Tennessee Ernie Ford.
So
anyway, Tennessee Ernie Ford is the lovely booming voice you hear that introduces our favorite things.
That's from an album, isn't it? It's from a really good album of Richard Rodgers and,
yes,
and Hammerstein, isn't it?
Yeah, about, 20 years ago now. Yeah. Capitol, and they're all available on Amazon, by the way.
They are. Yeah.
Capitol released a series called Capitol Sings Sammy Kahn, or Capitol Sings Frank Lesser, Capitol Sings Rodgers and Hammerstein.
They had their contracted artists.
Yeah, and it was all the different artists from the Capitol label who at some time had sung one of those songs. And some of them are fabulous. I mean,
right.
Liza Minnelli on the Cole Porter one does a Looking at You, which I think is so wonderful. Mm. And then there's some that are just so bad.
Like, why do we do this?
I can't remember what it is, but on the Gershwin one, somebody sings I Got Rhythm. And if you remember in the 60s, they played around with tempo, they played around with lyrics, and I don't know who's singing it, but she goes, I got rhythm. I got music.
Wow.
I don't know. You got to be
like,
kidding
pick
me.
Pick it up.
Do you have anything else?
Next.
Do you have anything else? Horrible. Horrible.
Wow.
Some of them are brilliant. So,
but it's still kind of fun to hear artists singing these songs.
Oh, they're amazing.
That are very popular recording artists singing.
Oh, they're amazing. Yeah. And the orchestrations and the arrangements are really fantastic.
That's what I always love with those kinds
of things. And they're all wonderful. So anyway, on the Rodgers and Hammerstein one, there's Tennessee Ernie Ford, and he sings My Favorite Things with this group. And I thought it was so unique. I was like, I thought this is what should be opening up our
brilliant.
Our TBT.
Well done, Mr. Schneider.
And to be honest
Professor
with you,
Schneider.
I couldn't get Joyce DeWitt.
Well, Sally Struthers, on the other hand,
Sally Struthers,
for a small fee,
would be more than happy to come in and sing. God, do I love her. So, how have you been? How was your week?
Oh, it was good. Yeah.
What'd you do? Anything exciting?
I saw King and I.
Again?
No, I'm kidding. What else? Yeah, I know. What else can I tell you? No, my week is good. It's been busy. I've been playing a lot of piano. I'm in rehearsals for Cabaret at New York Film Academy.
Oh my gosh, look
I'm
at you.
I'm the assistant music director for that.
How exciting.
It's going well, actually.
How exciting.
Yeah, it's fun to see the young people sing the Cabaret songs.
How old are they?
We have students from the ages of 18 upwards to, I want to say, in the mid-20s.
That's great. So it's a great range and all that
students.
Fun stuff.
We have an actual lovely German girl who plays Fräulein Schneider, but her German accent is like perfect because she's from Germany.
That's cool. Excellent casting. That's excellent
casting.
That's very, very good
No,
casting.
It's fun. We're having a good time putting it together. It goes up in May.
Have they had a chance yet to meet Sally Struthers, who'll be playing the MC?
No, but they did. Joyce DeWitt's going to come in, though, have a little Froiland cost. It's great. They'll wait to see it. It's amazing.
I love a good 70s television cast and something.
Oh, yeah.
That's good. My week was great. Thanks for asking.
Good. How was your week?
It's wonderful, Kevin. Thank you. I'm getting ready to direct Rock of Ages, an 80s musical.
I'm making my rock sign right now.
I think that's what that is.
Or did I say I love you?
I think you also said I love you. He also said I love you
clearly,
in sign language.
I listen to show tunes
in ASL. It's quite
80s rock.
It's quite beautiful. It's quite beautiful.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Things are going well for it. I'm
good.
Getting into my 80s world, watching a lot of 80s music videos.
Yes.
So I want to ask our listeners, even though it's not show tune related, if they have a favorite 80s music video, send it my way. I'd love to see it.
Because they were very theatrical, though. A lot
very
of those
theatrical,
videos.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sometimes
oh,
the
yeah.
video actually had absolutely nothing to do with the song.
Oh,
I mean, there were
no.
a couple of those where you were like, what? This has nothing to do with it. What's that cartoon one?
Take On Me.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Isn't
exactly
that
what I was thinking of. You were inside my
I think
head,
it was,
Rob.
Yeah. Take On Me.
Yeah.
That's
right.
What a great song, by the way.
Yeah, great karaoke song. Not
that one. Oh my god! And what's the other karaoke one that everyone loves to do? The 9 minute one. You know what I'm talking about? It's shit. Oh god! No! It's 9 minutes. Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Oh,
that
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
9 minutes.
Don't now another very theatrical music video.
Another theatrical
yeah.
music
so,
video.
So yeah. So hit us up with your favorite 80s. Your favorite 80s theatrical music video. And usually Jim Steinman is at the helm of one of them, you know.
And if you have a very favorite, like, 1930s movie clip from Germany, please send it Kevin's way.
I'm dying
He loves some German expressionism.
I'm a whore for German expressionism.
Can't get a hold of Kevin. Where is he? He's at a, you know, a Murnau film festival. Kevin, are you watching Nosferatu again? Yes, yes, he is. Yes, he is. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. All right.
Sorry. Sorry. No, too much fun.
So, what's your favorite thing? What's your throwback today?
Oh, my gosh. You know what? I'll tell you what my throwback is this week. We interviewed Walter Bobby a while back.
We did.
And Walter was talking about one of the shows he was really proud of directing called Golden Boy.
Oh, yeah.
1964.
Right, the musical.
And the musical
Charles
Golden
Strauss,
Boy.
Lee Adams.
Yes.
They did Bye Bye Birdie, mm-hmm. and, you know, Annie, and a plethora of everything. I'm just trying to give some context to our listeners who may not know.
Oh, yeah. So Bye Bye Birdie and all that. And you know where a lot of people might actually still know them from is they wrote the theme song to All in the Family.
Oh.
I mean, obviously they have an incredible, musical.
Didn't know that.
But Bye Bye Birdie and
Annie. Well, of course... Bring Back Birdie.
Well, which we talked about.
We did.
Which
the sequel.
The seminal event in the American
and
musical theater.
Annie 2, or before that, Miss Hannigan's Revenge, which is the sequel to Annie. I believe Martin Charnin wrote that, not Lee Adams.
But still, I don't think a lot of people know that there is a sequel to Annie.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Miss Hannigan's Revenge, then it was retooled at Goodspeed to Annie 2.
Annie
Great
2.
Songs.
Annie
anyway,
2.
Wow.
But not a show.
Just going all over the place.
That's
today.
Okay. No. So Golden Boy.
Yeah. I love Golden Boy.
So you're familiar with it.
And they switched the plot of it from the original play because they made it more about race. Golden Boy is played by an African American.
Very good. If you remember, first of all, it starts off as a play. It's a very famous play, Golden Boy. It comes out in the 1930s. It's written by Clifford Odets, who was, the playwright of the 1930s because everything was very socially driven, politically focused.
Very real.
Yeah, mm-hmm. things like Waiting for Lefty mm-hmm. and Awake and Sing. I mean, very, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so the original play is about an Italian immigrant who wants to be a surgeon, and the only way he can make money to put himself through medical school is by boxing. He's an amazing boxer. So there's this very ironic twist that, he's killing people.
He's the smart boxer.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so sad because, at the end of the play, he kills somebody in the ring. And this is a man who wants his whole life to be about saving lives. And he ends up taking a life. It's a beautiful play. And there's also a romance in there. He's having an affair with his manager's wife.
Yeah, what's her name?
Lorna.
Lorna, yeah.
Yeah, if you go to acting class, you've probably done a Joe and Lorna
scene.
Totally.
I think I did actually in acting.
At some point. Look at the moon, Lorna. Yeah. It's my Sergio Frankie. He's come back. But anyway, for those of you who don't know Golden Boy, there was a producer by the name of, oh my gosh, it's got Hilly Elkins. Hilly Elkins, he was in his early 30s. How about this? Hilly Elkins started off as a mailroom boy at William Morris and then moved his way up to being an agent. And some of his agents included, he's like Finch, the real life Finch, right?
I was just
going to
say, he's a real J.P.
From How to Succeed.
Yes, exactly.
And he wanted to do a vehicle for Sammy Davis Jr. And he said, what if we did Golden Boy?
Yeah.
And Strauss and Adams will write the score and Clifford Odets,
the original playwright,
will write the book.
Unbelievable.
And so they were going along, they were doing it,
and this is like 60, early 60s,
oh, wait,
too.
Oh, yeah, this is 1963,
wasn't exactly like,
64.
Yeah, let's write a biracial show.
Oh, my God. No, we'll talk about that, right? Yeah. So they write it, and they'll say, instead of him being an Italian immigrant, he'll be an African-American, because they felt, like you were saying, that's more contemporary
Very
for the
topical.
Time and more relevant.
Yeah.
And Clifford Odets, unfortunately, passes away.
Uh-huh.
They bring in a new book writer, and all of it, what goes away, though, is that extra element of he's a surgeon. He's trying to better himself. So now what we have is we have a character who is living up in Harlem, mm-hmm. who wants to get out of that environment. And if you've never listened to Golden Boy, the score is fantastic. The score is still edgy, and the score still has the ability to punch you in the gut.
It does.
Which is something that in 2016, you're like, I don't understand why, as a white man, am I listening to this, and I'm finding such a strong connection to it. And I think the brilliance of Golden Boy is that it transcends race. It trans, even though it's all about it.
Right.
And it is able to tap into all of our fears and all of our concerns. And the lyrics in this are brilliant. In this, the Want song, and I haven't even told you yet who sings, who's the lead in all of this. The lyrics go, where do you turn when you burn with this feeling of rage?
Night song.
Who do you fight when you want to break out, but your skin is your cage? Well, I mean, this is 1964. Visceral. And it's a vehicle for Sammy.
In New York City.
And New York City. It's a vehicle for Sammy Davis Jr.,
right.
obviously,
right.
who's playing our hero. And Sammy Davis Jr.'s one instruction to the new book writer was, he goes, I need you to write black.
Yeah.
He goes, I need you to write black so that way audiences understood. Now, remember what audiences are seeing at this time. Hello, Dolly.
Well,
Fiddler on the Roof.
Totally.
Funny Girl. Go ahead, yes.
Well, I just listened to our podcast today where we talked about Pearl Bailey and Carol Channing doing that concert. And the audience, when you look out for that broadcast, white.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking as white can be, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of audience that you're telling this story to.
Now, we had had a couple of interracial relationships on stage before.
Mm-hmm. No strings.
Like, no strings. Yeah. Where they don't
but it
stay,
wasn't about that.
But it wasn't about that, and they don't stay together at
that's
the
right.
end.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And things you have to remember at this time is, one, Sammy Davis Jr. is married to a Swedish woman, so he's in an interracial marriage, which was very controversial at the time. And when Golden Boy goes up, 31 states forbid interracial marriage. 31
that
states.
Is, like, in this day and age, in my generation, I can't even wrap my head around that. And I know that listeners grew up in that time period, but I just don't even know how to comprehend that.
He apparently would get so much hate mail sent to the theater, not only for the fact that he was actually married to a Caucasian individual in real life, but that in the show, the actress he was playing opposite was white as well.
That's right.
And they and I respect them, because if you look at a lot of the posters and playbills, it's Sammy Davis Jr. with his arm wrapped around her, and they're laughing and they're holding each other. The controversy that this elicited, and the fact that even though he was Sammy Davis Jr. and people, and he was beloved and people loved him because of the Rat Pack and because of his charming demeanor, he was still going out night after night after night and coming back to the dressing room and getting hate mail and getting negative responses. It's absolutely fantastic that this show even came to fruition, because it's not just about that. I mean, they're talking about interracial relationships.
Yep.
There's jokes and dialogue about Malcolm X.
Mm.
Sammy Davis Jr.'s brother in this show is a member of CORE, which was the Congress of Racial Equality. Mm-hmm. This is a very urban, edgy, angry show.
Yeah.
And I would love to know how audiences who saw the show reacted to it. But if you saw the show, let us know. But also, please listen to this score.
Yeah.
The score is brilliant. The score is genius. Your overture is fascinating.
Great orchestration.
Oh my God, the orchestrations are incredible.
And I heard that Sammy Davis would have his own guy orchestrate his songs.
Oh, interesting.
I read that. So I remember doing some research a couple of years ago about that. Yeah, that he had his own, because, you know, a lot of
from
these
Vegas
people,
and stuff.
Yeah, they
had
like the way they do it, that get their voice and all of that. Because Night Song, that what you read those lyrics
yes.
That his opening song is just, those orchestrations are just stunning. I read that in that orchestration book.
The Sound of Their Music?
I believe so. Stephen Susskind is the fantastic book about orchestrators. A lot of people don't realize that a lot of the stories being told musically is there because of the orchestrator who takes the melody and all of the music that the composer writes and then fleshes it out and gives it personality and life to it.
Yeah.
Anyway, there are oftentimes in that age, even though one orchestrator was listed, there are many orchestrators on
people involved
show
in all this stuff.
It took a long time to write all the music.
Somebody was saying that, you know, it would be great to see this show done again in a revival of some sort.
It has never been revived, has it?
No, it's never been revived. But to restructure the book so we go back to the idea of him being a surgeon, because that is missing.
I think it's
actually quite beautiful. But when they did this, apparently they felt that that wasn't going to be as believable, where the emphasis should be on the fact that it's his skin color that's really prohibiting.
We've moved
prohibiting.
Past that now.
Which is
I mean,
great.
Not past it, but our minds can handle both. I mean, of course it can. But,
But listen, I want everybody, just listen to one Night Song, which Sammy Davis does beautifully, but also listen to the overture, which is just the sounds of men in a gym practicing their boxing.
Right.
So all you hear are grunts and
percussive
punches.
Sounds.
Yes.
Percussive
sounds, and remember, remember, if you're an audience, you've just seen Funny Girl, you've just seen Dolly, you've just seen Fiddler, you've seen all of these shows that are very conventional, and the lights go up, and there are these men punching and grunting, and then there's this interracial marriage, I mean, relationship subplot, that it's fabulous. It's just a fabulous show. I encourage everybody, if you get a chance, watch it. We're also going to post some clips to YouTube because there's a wonderful series with Charles Strauss and Sammy Davis Jr. when the show first came out, talking about how the show was conceived and showing, talking about how musicals get developed. So please, 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 my pick for this week is Golden Boy.
I love that.
Little piece of trivia. The show was so successful that Necco, you know Necco Wafers?
Yeah.
They made a candy bar called Golden Boy.
Really?
To coincide with the show.
I wonder what was in the candy bar.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But then I would hope that Sammy Davis Jr. would sing Candyman.
I know.
While he
like, man.
I can't do it, Sammy Davis. We're not even going
to
try.
Sing that low.
But mine is Golden Boy, 1964, Strauss and Adams.
Well done.
Thank you.
I love Strauss and Adams.
They're so good.
Especially those first couple musicals they did.
And you know, like you said before, we know them so much for Bye Bye Birdie and Annie and all these mainstream hits. But shows of theirs that are not as well known are just as
still
wonderful.
Still quality.
Just as
writing.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for a good
very
score
jazzy.
This week, take a listen to Golden Boy. Kevin, I'm sorry, I just talked a lot. What do you got?
I have
Praise by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater. SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
A show that was done at Lincoln Center.
Lincoln Center?
And I saw this show.
You saw
it was done in 2003. It was done at the small theater that's downstairs, the Mitzi Newhouse Theater. And it was done on the set of a play that was running. But the play that was running was, let me get this right, hold on, I have to look at my notes. The set of Observe the Sons of Ulster Marching Towards the Somme. So on Mondays and Sunday nights, they would perform this song cycle musical. I'm going to call it a song cycle.
Observe the Sons?
Yeah. Of Ulster Marching Towards the Somme, S-O-M-M-E. I remember the poster art because I saw this other show. And the set was obviously very sparse. They could perform this on there. But so on for about 3 or 4 months, they had this cast of five performing this song cycle musical that Bill Finn wrote, who people may know as him writing A New Brain, Falsettos, March of the Falsettos, Falsetto Land, Putnam County Spelling Bee, among other things. It's called Elegies.
Elegies.
Yeah, and it really affected me very deeply when I watched. It's a elegy is called, you know, you might say songs of mourning, and they're all, you know, we all know that Bill Finn writes a lot of shows about his own personal life. Falsettos was basically his story. A New Brain is his story when he had the brain problem, and so elegies are all, they're all individual songs that he wrote about people that he knew that had died. Or that, songs of death, all in different kinds of spirits and all of kind of feelings. Not all just like sad tears in the eyes, but also kind of funny death, if you can go there. Like there's Christian Borles in this, Betty Buckley, Carly Carmelo, Michael Rupert, and one of my favorites, Keith Byron Kirk, who you may know him because he was in Parade. He played, he was the one who really did it in the show. I mean, he sang the chain gang song and all of that. So this show though was directed by Graziella Danielle. It was five actors, very simple. They would just pretty much park and bark a little bit.
Yeah.
But I love these songs of Bill Finn. They're just really well done songs, and he writes music about a song to, he wrote a letter to Jack Eric Williams, who was the original Beatle in Sweeney Todd.
Oh.
And this letter to him is about, you know, talking about, no, it's a letter to Ricky Ian Gordon about Jack Eric Williams. That's what it is. And it's really just a letter musicalized, but you get to learn about, you know, how Jack Eric was a composer in his own right and never had the success that he wanted. And then unfortunately passed away from diabetes. So he's writing to Ricky kind of lamenting about, you know, the loss of another, you know, life. But it's a beautiful celebration of life.
Yeah.
And the performances, are captivating. This is before Christian Borle, you know, became the Christian Borle that we know him from, you know, all the shows that he does now. And this is one of the first or second things that he had done. And Betty Buckley, of course, just blasting it out with her song. She sings a great song called Infinite Joy. You know, this took place, I say 2000, it's 2003. But this is just 2 years after the World Trade Center. And of course, that closes with a whole number about the song called Looking Up and Seeing Sky and about that whole sequence.
Jeez.
She sings a very beautiful song about that. Christian Borle sings a song about dogs, your dogs that die, which is really charming and sweet. Young ladies, you might want to look at a great song that Carol Lee sings called Anytime I Am There. It's a beautiful song. And Christian also sings a song, gentlemen, you should check out, The World Stopped Turning. It's another great, great, you know, theatrically driven song. But, you know, I loved this show because it's storytelling acting, and it's not just the songs are fun and they're interesting, and it's good music, but it's the lyrics are what really get me with Bill Finn. He writes in a very, and I say this as a compliment, but in a very simple everyday kind of way, well crafted, but very like the way we would talk.
Yeah.
And I've always liked that about Bill Finn, you know. So that's Elegies.
What a brilliant show.
It's not done very often. I think it's because it's a song cycle, and song cycles really aren't done by many theaters very often, but it's a great listen if you listen to the album. And I've always loved it. It's a great, great little chestnut.
And you got to see it.
Yeah, I saw it in that small theater.
That's really
cool.
And
that was my first time hearing all those songs. And it's rare when you see a show and you hear the music and the everything for the first time and you think, whoa, this is special.
Yeah.
And just from the very first listening, I was just completely rocked by it.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I got to go listen to it again now.
Yeah, it's worth it.
You know what this is so off topic.
Bring it.
But you know what I saw of his a few years ago and I loved it? In Trousers.
Oh,
which
yeah.
also is, you know, one of his that doesn't get done.
That was one of his, just so our listeners may not know, that was like his first show that he really wrote. Autobiographical in the Marvin being his sort of character. That is him.
You know, Falsettos is coming to Broadway in 2016, 2017 in the season. And so this was the first part of that trilogy. And a very good friend of mine, I have to give a shout out to, Amy Anders Corcoran, who I went to grad school with, she directed a production of it, and it was phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. And so if you're a theater out there and you're looking for a show, hire Amy and do In Trousers, because it was brilliant.
Small cast, great,
yeah.
It's but really, really good stuff.
He's such a good writer.
Oh, I'm a huge fan. And he teaches, you know, music. He's been teaching at NYU, the Graduate Musical Theater Writing Program, for years and years. He teaches all these young people how to write musicals and stuff. He's a great guy.
If you get to study with him, you're lucky. If you get to listen to him, even luckier.
I agree.
Right? Awesome.
Totally.
So mine is Golden Boy.
Mine is Elegies.
What a fun weekend you're going to have. Listening.
We'll bring something lighter next week
racism
for you.
And death.
Jeez.
So
enjoy.
Have a great weekend. Happy spring. But you can come see my production of Elegies with Joyce DeWitt, which is going to be fantastic. I'm very excited to buy it. She's going to be great. She's not really going to sing from the show, but she is going to sing Come On Knock On Our
Come
Door.
On our door.
It's going to be great. Have a great weekend.
Bye, everyone.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.